Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Paramahansa Yogananda, who brought Kriya Yoga to the United States. In this show or series of shows, we will discuss some of the important similarities between the teachings of the Self-Realization Fellowship and original Christianity. Listen as we explore the basic principles of truth, religion, God, life, and yoga. In this show, religion and yoga will be understood as union with the divine, and everything else will be missing the mark. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience oneness with the divine. Swami, the topic of today's show is Kriya Yoga meeting original Christianity. And I see here that we have an introduction from the SRF, the Self-Realization Fellowship, about original Christianity. So maybe you want to read that for us?
Yeah, in their program, which actually is what you took, not me, but when I was going through your notes, I saw that the Introduction to Self-Realization Fellowship Lessons begins with this paragraph, and I'll read it for you. We are happy that you have become a student of the incomparable teachings of our guru founder, Paramahansa Yogananda. Through application of the moral and esoteric principles of original Christianity and of original yoga presented in these teachings, especially the simple techniques of meditation handed down to us by the gurus of Self-Realization Fellowship, you will discover a life divine. You will realize a spiritual fellowship with other true seekers on this path, and the supreme joy of satsanga, fellowship with God, our one Father. And of course, after reading that and having the experience that I did with my discovery of Christian Science, I could really start to see that I wasn't the only one that saw a synergy between Christianity and Kriya Yoga. But I think it's important here that you realize that he's talking about original Christianity, which may not include the communities that have taken over Christianity today, the traditional approaches to Christianity. In fact, I always think about what Gandhi had said in one of his talks, that he was talking about Christianity, and he said, Christ preached a wonderful doctrine. And he said, I myself would be a Christian if it weren't for the Christians. And so when I think of the word Christianity now, I really perceive it through the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy and her Christian Science, because I really think that she captured this concept of original Christianity. I was raised a Christian, and I didn't know half of the stuff that she's talking about. And so one of the things that I learned in studying Christian Science, for the first 200 to 300 years of Christianity, all they did was heal the sick, reform sinners, raise the dead, preach the gospel. It had nothing to do with a church or donations to a church. That it was a very proactive, demonstrable science that they were demonstrating. And today, we've reduced it to belief. And that was one of the things that I really was drawn to with Kriya Yoga, was the whole thing that it was a science, even though the teachings that I was exposed to didn't bring me to the level of understanding that enabled me to demonstrate it. I was accustomed to having a practice, that there was something tangible, that was something applicable to my everyday life that I was employing. That's an important factor, I think, because we can't just believe in God anymore, that you really want to demonstrate this law that the scriptures are promising us.
In the class instruction from the SRF, there is a paragraph here, a short one, that I would like to read that I think is in line with what we're doing with the spiritual science. And it reads, "You should give some time to God. No person is really so busy that he is unable to devote a part of each day to the most important of all man's duties, seeking oneness with his Creator. Students who knock at the door of spiritual opportunity with their best efforts will find it swinging open, for God does indeed help those who help themselves." That's an important lesson to realize, that we have to seek this relationship. So I like the fact that it did parallel with some of the teachings that I've been brought up with.
Yeah, and one of the things that when I first started to explore Christian science and then eventually divine science, the things that dovetailed with it, because I remember exposing students to these discoveries that I was making, and it seemed at the time that Christian science started from the top down and Kriya Yoga started from the bottom up, was my original observation, because we were working with the physical body. We were working with a belief in matter. If you really dial down with the Yoga Sutras, yoga begins with yama, and your fifth yama is brahmacharya, which is carrier of Brahman. And Christianity begins with the instruction to love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. This internal connection to this invisible, intangible, concealed deity is of the utmost importance. So no matter what it is that you're doing, you really need to begin with this union with the divine. But what we are finding is that it's very difficult to understand, what does that look like when I'm actually doing it? How do I know that what I'm calling God is this one true God? Because Christian science is the only one that really puts healing on the table. Mary Baker Eddy pretty much tells you that if you can't heal, that you don't understand yourself spiritually. That gives you a litmus test. And coming from a background of materials, the material science of steam fitting, the pragmatic application of all of these laws of physics, that something visible and tangible to help me understand this invisible, intangible principle is very helpful.
Well, that leads me to the next question that I have for you is, what is the relationship then between science as we know it and religion?
Well, I think the foundation level for both science and religion is that they are seeking truth. We're really looking for this meaning of life. And the meeting ground seems to lead to this concealed deity or invisible, intangible force that quantum physics is now saying underlying matter is energy, and underlying energy is the void. And discoverers like Mary Baker Eddy was trying to tell us the unreality of matter, that matter really is just thought made visible. And now science is starting to back that. But what I'm also finding, Science doesn't seem to have caught up with Mary Baker Eddy's understanding of modes of thinking. And to be able to come out of these, what she called mortal modes of thinking, and to think with divine mind, is how you perfect the appearance, the formula, how we think is what we become, which is what we've been working with since the inception of Institute for Personal Development, has really been updated for us, because now we're starting to see that the mind that we're using to get us through our life is starting to be revealed as undependable, because it can only see the false activity of the human experience. But what it doesn't see is this divine mind. It doesn't see this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, which really holds the template for perfect creation.
I know you talk a lot about Jesus Christ, and you do make the distinction between Jesus and the Christ. So this might be a good time maybe to talk about that.
Yeah, and that was something that I found to be very helpful, was to separate Jesus from the Christ and to understand that the Christ is the saving aspect of truth. And Jesus was the manifestation of the Christ. Jesus was the Word made visible. The Christ demonstrates divine law, which what we're starting to explore eliminates karmic law.
Well, this may be a good time to talk about what the distinction is between this karmic law and divine law that you mentioned.
Karmic law is the false sense of existence. It is the belief in two powers. It is the law of reciprocity, that what we put out is what we get back. But this human experience cannot extend beyond human thought. And human thought is basically our own ignorance. It is our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on this shadow of truth, this fractured sense of what is really here. That human thought works on duality, works on contrast. It's human conjecture. We're trying to form thoughts and conclusions with incomplete information because we're not seeing the whole picture. Whereas divine law is absolute. Divine law is the belief in one power, one life, eternal life. It's the changeless state of being. The divine idea does not report in our five-sense mind. In order for us to open the channels of communication, we really have to develop spiritual sense. But what we're learning is that you can use the testimony of your senses to prove what it is that you're doing. Not that there is anything real about this appearance. Again, coming back to what Mary Baker Eddy says, if you cannot correct corporeal sense with this truth of being, then you can't be in the truth of being. It's a demonstrable principle. It's not just something you believe in, which is kind of like the way that we've been socialized. That's the road that we've gone down. We either believe in God and we don't, and then we defend it. But what we're finding is that belief is what gives this false sense of existence its existence. Human life is not backed by divine law, so it falls under this law of karma, which again is the perfect account. And we're in this cycle of death and rebirth. Religion and yoga are designed to educate people for liberation, freedom from this law of karma.
Well, this is probably a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, you mentioned just a few moments ago about the two powers. What are the two powers, and what does it look like when we believe in them?
Yeah, we're talking about the law of opposites here. We're talking about good and evil, light and darkness, hot and cold, that this is really material law. And it's very different than spiritual law, because spiritual law is the belief in one power. And in this understanding of spiritual identity, the absolute, what they called the holy, the unified state, however you want to look at it, there's no opposition, there's no conflict. Everything is just a different aspect of the same thing. And for us to acknowledge that and have fidelity to it, it activates it in our experience. If we believe the testimony of our senses, which is just the shadow of truth, it won't reach this truth of being. So we have to give up the belief in duality. We have to give up the belief in the false in order for us to reach the true.
Well, you had mentioned karma also a few moments ago, and I think we have a card from Paramahansa Yogananda called Paragrams that kind of remind us a little bit about karma. Do we want to read that now?
Yeah, we were going to go through these cards here, and the one that we're talking about is called Balance. And what Paramahansa Yogananda says here is that the material and the spiritual are but two parts of one universe and one truth. By overstressing one part or the other, man fails to achieve the balance necessary for harmonious development. Life is expressed in a threefold way, through thoughts, desires, and actions. Rightly guide all these forms of expression, and they will lead you to a higher state of consciousness. In your activities, you are the creator, the preserver, the transformer. Your will is the director. Practice the art of living in this world without losing your inner peace of mind. Follow the path of balance to reach the inner, wondrous garden of self-realization.
Now, why does that remind us of karma?
Well, for me, balance always reminds me of the law of karma, the perfect accountant, for what we put out is what we get back. But the thing that I like to be really mindful of is that karma is rooted in the belief in two powers, and that the goal of yoga is liberation from this law of karma by the union with the divine. If we believe in karma, if we believe that we have to work out our karma, you can't lift yourself out of karma from the law of karma. You need to grab something outside of it. Even in science, it says in Newman's chain that observation has effect on reality, that it is the observer that sets the measurement for what's called the collapse of the wave function. And this will continue until it is met by something that is not bound by the same rules. And so for us to continue with human thought, which operates on duality, this belief in two powers keeps us in the law of karma. We really have to come out of these human modes of thinking and to think with divine mind, which is not bound by the same rules as the law of karma, in order to activate this divine law, which is the law of absolute life, eternal life.
Well, I see in the notes here that we also have some words about us being the creator.
Paramahansa Yogananda makes that statement here. He said, in your activities, you are the creator, the preserver, the transformer. You will be the director. Now, that's something that we're starting to learn is anytime you're working with these personal pronouns, you really have to transfer it from the many to the one. That if when you're using a personal pronoun like I am, it really must be assigned to the divine creative principle, because individual man doesn't create anything. And the reason is because human thought doesn't go far enough. It doesn't reach divine law. It doesn't activate this creative principle. So all we can really do at this point is come out of our modes of human thinking and make our mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind. And divine mind is the creative principle. In fact, divine creation is right here, right now, and it's perfect. All we want to do is attune ourselves to it and let it reveal itself to us. And that revelation will correct your thought and change your image of what it is that is before you.
What you're saying is only one creator, and it is the divine principle and will. We shouldn't be taking this on a personal level.
Right. We have to come out of this false sense of who we are. The Bible says we have to give up the old man, and at the same time, we have to accept spiritual identity. You have to know that you are an eternal spiritual being. This connection is found in the thought unity between divine mind and what's called the real man, not the false sense of who we think we are. The belief in matter obscures true vision of who we are. So if we can give up the material moorings and we know that we are an eternal spiritual being, that changes our thinking from objective to subjective, because from a personal sense, we are a separate entity. From a personal sense, there's now and then, there's here and there. But from a spiritual sense, everything is happening now. There's not here and there. Everything is here. There's not now and then, everything is now, the eternal now, because spirit is the absolute. It's whole, it's complete. And this belief in two powers hypnotizes us into thinking that this dualistic ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our five senses is real.
I think the word balance is a very interesting word. Because in the martial art world, the balance was being able to have the physical attribute of balance to be able to perform actions. But also when studying the yin-yang symbol, the very middle line of the yin-yang symbol denotes living in harmony, living in balance. And I think a lot of people think that if they balance out their lives and all the departments, that's going to be the key to having a better human existence.
Right. But what we're starting to find is that it doesn't go far enough. we're not really just trying to achieve balance. We're talking about mind, body, and spirit, and the balance of the body and the mind, because the body really is the mind made visible. So you're not dealing with three things, you're really dealing with two things initially. And so we balance this mind-body appearance in order to create a point where we can now let that go and accept spiritual identity. This may be one of the differences I found between Christian Science and Kriya Yoga initially. Christian Science starts with love God. And this truth, if you can accept God as your identity, if you could know that you are the reflection of this one divine life, that will dispel the false sense of who we think we are. It will dispel the error. Truth dissolves the error. But in Kriya Yoga, we started with working with the body, working with the mind. But if you really drill down with it, Kriya Yoga should begin with Yama, and your fifth Yama is union with the divine. And so it is accepting this spiritual identity really gives what you're doing the power. It enables you to rise out of working with belief, because before we were working with our human thoughts. We would visualize what we thought in our imagination, what would be a desired outcome. And then we, using our belief, we would try to manifest that. But now what we're finding is that that continues to perpetuate this cycle of death and rebirth. With human thought and with belief, you can change finite bad to finite good. But that doesn't bring you to this state of liberation. It doesn't bring you into spiritual identity. In order for you to experience spiritual identity, you must become spirit. And it was Swami Ramatirtha who said, train the mind to serve spirit, train the body to serve the mind. And the way that we do this is by accepting God as our mind, basically, and then knowing divinely, which is a very different dynamic, because for spirit, everything is here, everything is within itself. You're working with the infinite. Everything becomes subjective. And from that vantage point, that is how we start to exercise dominion, as opposed to thinking humanly, which is rational thinking, relative thinking, where everything is objective. Everything is outside of yourself at that point.
So I believe that you're saying that the basic principles of truth, religion, God, life, and yoga is this union with the divine.
Right. And the interesting thing about it is that it is one power. There's only one truth. There's only one religion. There's only one God. There's only one life. And there's really only one yoga. And what we're learning is that it's absolute. It's not a mix of good and evil. It's not a mix of light and dark. It is eternal life. It is eternal light. It's absolute life.
Well, it is about that time. We do have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, when you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also the products tab, if you click that, and then online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available for you to continue your learning experiences. So with that, we'll end our short program. I am Lisa Winton. With me is Kenny Choi. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience oneness with the divine. Namaste.
And again, I'm Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.